back to the basics. We started last week, and I realized after the first service that, man, I had way too much material. I flew through stuff and ended up having to cut some stuff out. So I'm going to talk fairly fast this morning. You're just going to have to listen, and I'm going to need a drink of water. That's what I'm going to need right now. Okay. Oh, thank you. Is it going to go topple? Well, who set that there? Mike did. Back to the basics of the family. And we talked about last week, we looked at the family, that there's three structures of that. There's the nuclear family. That's what we call our biological, but it's not just biological. There's sometimes now they're blended all the different things. But our nuclear family, that which is our family unit. And we see that where you relate to your family. But then there's also the church, the family of God. This is a family. Christ refers to this as a family and the church. Marvin, let me give you a disclaimer here. I may skip some of the verses, okay? Just letting IT people know what's going on. And so this is the family as well. We have a family here. Much of the admonition to the nuclear family will cross right over into the spiritual family. The things that we're to do in our nuclear family, we're also supposed to do in our spiritual family and the church family. And then there's the universal family, the family of the world. People around us who live all over, not just the universal church, those who are believers universally, but those who are anybody in the world. We have an obligation to the universal world that God says to go and to reach and to teach and to win people for Christ. So we have a responsibility to our nuclear family, we have a responsibility to this church family, and then we have a responsibility to the world, and we must see those in balance. We must see those and keep them in balance. Now, the issues we started looking at last week as well is that there is a design for marriage. There is a design for marriage. There is a design for family. I've asked people this week, and I'm wondering if I ask you, what is the role of the family in today's society? Not what are the roles within it, not like husband and wife, we're going to get to that. But what is the role of today's family in our society? And some of you will have a hard time answering that question. Many of you will. And the reason I know many of you will is because I did. This morning early, Pastor Paul, Pastor Ben, and I met Mom. We were talking, and as Pastor Ben's speaking over there, and as we're, what is the role of today's family in our society? It used to be pretty clear cut, but it's not anymore. What is the design? What is it to be? What are the disciplines? What are the factors of it? The directors of it? What is the issue? There is a design. Now, let me say, a disclaimer. I don't seek today to cause conflict. But I speak today, and I do seek to speak the truth from God's word. And if you don't agree with it, I'm sorry. Take it up with the writer of the word. I find in our society today, even in churches, that we try to make things so politically correct and so soft that we underhand it, and because we don't want to offend somebody, and we want to be correct, and I want to be careful of that, to love you and to care for you. But there is a design for things in our world, and God gave that. And so, as we look through the design that He gave, as well as into the family structure that we are to have, what are those designs? What are our roles? I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff. I'm not going to try to make it palatable so it will go down easier. I'm just going to say this is what God's word says, and you can take it up, and then you make a determination. And I'm praying that the Spirit of God works in your life, whatever the application may be. If the application to you is, okay, well, I'm not going to listen to it, fine, if that's what the Spirit says to do. But I'm just going to go through this without trying to sugarcoat much. And so it doesn't mean I don't love you and care for you. I'm just saying we in our society today, we, even churches, everything is politically correct and sugarcoated, not to want to offend anybody. That's not my goal this morning. It really is not. But it's not my goal to offend or be harsh or to point you in any way except the truth of the word. The design for the family was found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father. What was the reason? The reason was Adam was created, but he was incomplete. He needed to help me. And so as he said, God created Eve. And so for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The design of marriage is a man and a woman to be of one flesh and then to multiply and to fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply, he says. To have kids, to fill the earth. That's the family design that he created. It's repeated in the New Testament as well. The issue of the family, the design of the family is simply a man and a woman, and here they are able to come together, they are able to make kids, they are able to be fruitful and multiply. But there's some disciplines that we also need to run through here. There are some disciplines in the family, because it's easy to say, well, the role of the formation of the family is a man and a wife and kids. Okay, that's easy. But what is the family today? And what is the structure of the family today? And when I ask you what the role of the family in our society, many of us could not say it, what it is, because it's been changed and so altered that we do not see it. and that we have bought what today's society says the family is, which is really very individualistic and very selfish. The idea of the family today is you go to work individually so that you can come home and you can play as a family. And that is the role of most of our families today. The structure of our family, I gotta go to work. Why do we gotta go to work? I gotta go to work so I can support the play of our family, where our family has become entertainment-based and the issues have been lost of what the role of the family really is. Do you realize that the family, the structure that God gave in the family, was the first educational institution? It was in the home that things were taught. It was the first, it really was the first problem-solving institution where you can solve problems. It was the first spiritual institution. It wasn't the church, it was the family. All of the issues, it was, they lived together. Obviously, the culture has changed. We transit, we are so mobile, all of that. But the reality is our families today have been structured to the point where I go to work to provide for our fun for the most part, to buy more toys. And as Pastor Mike, as we just said, all the time those things will put us in debt, and then we're in debt to them, and they owe, and they own us. So what are the disciplines that really the role of the family should be today? And we need to know these disciplines so that when we measure our family and say, are we being as successful as parents and grandparents, what is the role of that? Today the role is with our kids and all that, well, it's fun. I like that. That was a great time. We had fun. Therefore, the role of the family has been fulfilled in today's society. Can I have $50, Mom? Can I do this? You know, if we can pay for our self-indulged society, we are okay. But that's not the discipline that God gave us. The discipline that God gave us was found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, this is the discipline. Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, you know, most of you guys have heard this over and over. You're going, yada, yada, yada. Here we go again. But man, this is truth. You want to know what the role of family is? Here it is. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What are the disciplines that we gather out of this? First, the issue is to hear and know the truth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The truth of God, the truth of an absolute. There are absolutes in God's word. And we're told to listen and to know that the Lord is one. And in fact, he goes on in that passage, they make no other gods before me. Don't create any graven images. Don't worship anything else. I, the Lord. That is what preeminent. To hear and know the preeminence of God. As you read through that passage, do you see that it covered every element of our life? It covered, man, you tell them, you speak when you rise up, when you sit down, when you're coming and you're going. I wonder, it's probably, the sign probably should have been on both sides of the gate. As you're walking out the gate and as you walk back into the gate. The issues of teaching the truth of God, that God is preeminent, that God is to be the preeminence in our life. Is that what your house is teaching? And the point of that is that, the whole point of that is that it was continually spoken. It was continually demonstrated. When in your family do you talk about the things of God? In your mind, I want you to be honest before, when do you talk about the things of God? Is it on Sundays, maybe because you go to church? Do we talk about the things of God on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Do we wait to see how God moved? Do we ask our kids, hey, did you see God move in your life today? Do we ask anybody, hey, what did you learn today? What did you see? How did you pray today? Do we talk of Jesus from Monday through Sunday instead of just saying Sunday's here, we got to go to church, put on, we look really religious, we go and we are talking. Jesus said, listen, the discipline of the family, the first family unit, the spiritual, is to hear and know the truth of God and to practice and model it daily. And yet, in many cases, we have given everything over to an educational system to teach them, a church to train them and to give them spiritual things, and we've abdicated our responsibility to let them know from us as parents and as grandparents that number one thing in our life should be the preeminence and the glory of God. So he says, hear and know the truth. He also says to love God. What are you showing them? To love the Lord your God. As you read through that passage, you see with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, tie them when you all of the time in your life to love God. All of you, all of us. It's not casual. It was not optional. It was with intention. And he starts by saying that love of God should be on our heart. It should flow from our heart. That what we're teaching the kids to love God, it's not that they look at me and say, hey, you know, you're going to church today. Go love God. No, I've done my loving God thing. You go love God now. No, we are to teach them by modeling and showing them that nothing in our life is going to take preeminence or predominance over the love of God. And I think if we're honest at times, there are so many things that distract us and pull us away from being in love with God and having him model in our lives and from on our hearts to show that God is the most predominant. A lot of these things as well flow right into church. We're to hear and know the truth, and this family here, we're to love God, but we're also to teach. It says to teach them. Man, when they're sitting down, when they're standing up, when they're walking, when they're going out, you teach them of the truth of God. It is deliberate. It is diligent. It is modeling. We teach them. Not just a Sunday conversation, but a daily conversation. But we also teach, in this society, it's a little more difficult. But let me just tell you right now, I get frustrated as we, and in my own life, I have to measure this. Because there's some things when we are going to say we are going to love God, it may mean that we have to demonstrate things that we may not want to do, and we may have to make choices that we may not want to make, and we may have to say, you know what, we're not going to be in this. So it's not like, hey, will you go in the other room because I want to watch this? Will you go play in your bedroom or turn on your iPad because I want to watch this TV? It's, no, we're going to turn it off. If it's not fit for them to watch, is it fit for me to watch? We're not going to go to that movie. I don't care what the ratings of the world puts upon a movie. It has nothing to do with that. Should you be watching it, and should your kids be watching it? And I dare say most of the movies that we say, well, our kids shouldn't watch, we probably shouldn't be watching either. And if you're with people, some of your very best friends, some of the people around you, and they're blatantly in sin and living in sin, and they explore, you may have to be the person that says, kids, we're leaving. We love them, but guess what? And you use it as a teachable moment. Here's why. We love them, but we don't appreciate and we don't agree with what they're doing. And so we want to separate them. And I know that, man, today you're thinking, no, we wouldn't do that. That hurt their feelings. We don't. But sometimes we have to say, listen, I'm going to leave this place. I'm not going to watch that. I'm going to leave these people, and I'm going to demonstrate that. And we'll go back to them and say, hey, we're sorry, but we just don't agree with that lifestyle. We don't agree with what you're doing. We don't agree with that kind of talk. We don't agree with those kind of words, and we don't want our kids to hear it. So therefore, we have to separate ourselves from that. I know you're probably thinking, man, that's crazy. Is it? Or have we lost so far the framework of what the family was about that in the role in today's society, we don't even know it? And yet that's what God called us to do. My very best friend that I had growing up, I remember when I got serious about following God, he and I had a little conflict because he wasn't serious about following God. Oh, he was a believer, went to church. But the things he was into, and I finally had to say, God, I got to do something. And I love him, but I got to do something. I can't be with him. I can't be with him. I can't be with that group anymore. And I went to him. I remember we went to dinner. I took him to dinner, and I said, you know, I just got to tell you, I love you. You've been my best friend. But if you're going to do those things, and if you're going to be with those people, I will not be with you. I'd love to tell you the story that, oh, he responded like, yeah, great, cool, I'm going to do it. No, he didn't. And our relationship suffered. Friends, yes. Best friend, no. Do I do things with him? No. If he calls, hey, you want to go? And I say, well, who's going? Are you guys? I'm not going. That's at a personal level. But as parents, we need to say as well, and grandparents, we need to say, here's what we're going to do here. I think we've lost the role of what the family's all about. To hear and know the truth, there are absolutes, and our kids need to see it from us. To love God, that needs to be the priority. We love God more than we love our job, more than we love our fun, more than we love our boat, more than we love our trailer, more than we love it. It is about God. We are not going to blow it off because a football season began. We're not going to blow it off because I got the MLB on every channel. We're not going to blow it off because somebody's little toe got hurt. We're going to demonstrate the love of God and be faithful to him. Boy, it's getting quiet. The last discipline is that to remember, he says. To remember. When you go in that land, when your life changed because God's changed your life, and all of a sudden things look good and rosy, and you start drinking water from a well you did not dig, and you start having hummus from a plant you didn't plant, and when you start having fun with the things and all these vineyards and the olives and the grapes and the wine is flowing, you better remember where you came from. And we need to teach, and we need to remember that we were in the well that God delivered us from. And we need to remember what God has done in our life. Is it always good and rosy? No, it is not. But is he ever faithful? Yes, he is. And we need to remember so that our kids, that our generation, the kids around us, our grandkids need to see, listen, we remember the faithfulness of God and the things that we're blessed with today. It all comes from him. It's not because dad works hard. You may think it is. The Bible tells us the very breath that you have, the next breath you take was a gift from given from God. The ability to work is a gift from God. And we need to remember so that we can teach our kids, listen, it is about God. It's all about God. Everything we have, he's blessed us, and we want to live that way. We want to be grateful and thankful, and we want to be humble servants within that. Well, since I've already probably got some of you like upside down, I'm just going to finish this thing off in royal fashion. What are the duties of a family? Are you ready? Ephesians 5, verse 22. Can you read? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, let me just tell you, we're going to talk about the duties, and I'm not going to go on and on and on about this, and we try to make this politically correct and cover it, and some of you don't like this. I actually did a series once on the family, and we talked about wife submission, and the couple left the church because the wife told them they were leaving. That is true. That is true. That is not my goal, and let me just tell you, some of you who automatically put a barrier up when you see the word submission, you do not know the way God intended it. If you put a barrier up right now and say, submit, are you kidding? I'm not going to submit. You do not understand the beauty of what God is saying here. And it's been misrepresented, and men have misrepresented it. Men who think they're better than women have misrepresented it. Men who have this role definition have misrepresented it. God did not write it that way, and we need to come back. So you need to see that when you see submission as the way God intended, it is freeing to you. It lets you be free, and it puts all the responsibility on him. You say, I'm not going to give up control to him. Why not? Because what you're doing, you're not giving control to him. You're giving us unto the Lord. And when you say, well, it's your decision, all of a sudden, he says, whoa, 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 I don't want to make a decision. Some of you wives have come and said, he just won't make a decision. Do you know why? Because he's more comfortable with you making the decision. So if it goes bad, you go, you made it. But when you stop and say, honey, here's how I feel about it. But guess what? It's your thing. You make the decision, and I'll honor whatever you do. You pray before God. All of a sudden, the weight of, oh, crap. Well, maybe not that, but oh, God, you know. She just put it all upon me. Go ahead, write the notes again. It's okay. I got stacks of notes right now. So, I mean, after these 2 weeks, I've got lots of notes. But, you know, just go ahead and say it. Hey, you know, honey, do you realize what your husband all of a sudden says? Oh, now I got to really think about this. You mean I got to really pray about this? I got to do what's best. But let me just tell you something. The duties start with Ephesians 5:21, which was not up there. Ephesians 5:21 says that you submit to each other. Mutual submission, as unto the Lord. And that's where it begins. What we are talking about is mutual submission, that we see the need of the other, that we yield our rights, that we yield our control to the other person. And he says that's the way we're doing it. We yield our rights. We yield our control as unto the Lord. And that's where it starts. When a couple comes together saying, we're both going to be servants here, we are both going to do what God wants to do, that's where it begins, and that's where submission begins. And then it says to go on, it says to husbands to love and to lead. To love your wives and to lead them as Christ loved. Husbands love and to lead. Now, there's a lot in there. We're not going to go through all of that, but it says to love as Christ loved the church, which was unconditionally. Do you love your wife that way? And to lead. There's times you have to lead, men. I realize they'll fight that at times, but you have to lead. But I find that when there's mutual submission that goes on, I find that when there's mutual submission that happens, that consensus is much easier, and there's very, very few times that you will line up having go head-to-head against each other. When you pray about it, seek God's best. But when those times come, the wife needs to say, honey, we prayed about it. Thank you for listening to me. The wise man listens to the counsel of his wife. But when it comes time to make a decision, leadership is only leadership when someone disagrees. And that's when you must lead. You must get before God and say, I've got to lead. To love and to lead. And wives, here it says submit. But you need to know, as God says it, this is not a value statement. Many of you take submission as a value statement, and it is not. This is nothing more than a structure statement. That there has to be a structure. You yield to the authority, and God said, this is the way the structure is going to be. Just as Christ is the head of the church, so man is over the wife, the woman. That is a structure. It's not a value. It doesn't say submit here to every male. Some of you men who think every woman has to submit to you for whatever you say, you're wrong. It says you submit, you yield control to your husband. That you yield control, and it talks about work. Of course, you yield your authority, the authority to the one who's over you at work. If you don't, you're not employed very long. We yield, wives yield. It begins with mutual submission. Now, I know that this is a nuclear bomb and a nuclear button for some of you. But let me just tell you, it started all the way back at the beginning. Because in Genesis, it says that we must be one flesh. But it also says the result of the curse. The result of the curse is that man's, that woman's desire would be for her husband. Now, we would like to think that that means that the woman's desire is going to be for sex. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about sin, crouching at the door, knocking to get in because the woman wants to dominate the male, was part of the curse. The woman wants to be in charge. Now, you may not like that. Go study it. But we are to lovingly yield everything to Christ. So husbands are to love, wives are to submit. Let's not leave the kids out. Kids, you're to honor and respect your parents through obedience. You're to honor your parents by obedience. And that's what it says to children, honor through obedience. I mean, he goes on to say in Ephesians, that's a verse with a promise there. If you want to live long, guys, obey your parents. That's what it says. I don't think it's just by doing what they say. I think it's by listening to their wisdom that will keep you on the straight, that will keep you from making the same mistakes they made. To listen. It's not up there, but I think there's a grandparent role, and that is to spoil them. I like to spoil, but let me tell you something. You spoil with parameters. You spoil with parameters. We who are grandparents, I've had to learn this. I must be the fulfillment and the addition to the role of my kids in their home. I spoil with parameters. I back the parental and the family unit that they have. And you as grandparents, as I am, we must be careful not to intercede. We must not be careful to interject where we have no say. We must want our kids to be an autonomous family unit, not dependent upon us. And then you can step back and spoil them, but with parameters. The difference maker, when it all comes down to this, you may say, well, man, that was a shotgun. The difference maker is this. Everything that we've just talked about is as unto the Lord. Everything. So if you're mad at me about wives submit, you're not submitting to me, or you're submitting even to your husband as unto the Lord. We submit to each other as unto the Lord. We teach, we love, we pray as unto the Lord. Everything about our life, the difference maker is we're not doing it, I've got to give up my rights to him. No, you're giving up our rights as unto the Lord. I'm giving up control, yes, I'm giving up control. I'm changing dependence from being upon me to being upon Christ as unto the Lord. And we teach them as they come and as they go that we want to be the parent. We want to love them and teach them and show them God. We want to be diligent and deliberate within that. And it's as unto the Lord. So the things at times that are hard to swallow that we may not like, but when it really comes back to it, as unto the Lord, we do that. Every one of those passages states that. Not because Bill, not because of a book, not because of a counselor, not because of social trends. We listen to the truth. We acknowledge the truth. We practice the truth as unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that we will see our family structure as one that is the heart of it is to show you, to show your love for people and the love for the family. May we today, as we go from here, not just talk about Jesus today, or talk about this message right now or after, or I didn't like that, or I did like that, or I got to write a note, but that we will talk of your life, the good things of God throughout this week to each other and to our kids and to our neighbors, that we will talk of Jesus in a comfortable and a consistent manner. Thank you for loving us today. Meet the need of every heart here. For it's in your Son's name we pray.
Amen.